Dick knows I took the last spot because I might go a little long. My mother was the storyteller in our family. I don't often write about her. And oh, I'm Rick. Yes, and she was Helene. She loved to tell her grandchildren stories of our long-term family pet, Fifi, a tricolor dachshund. There was the origin story of Fifi flying in from Dallas, Texas, a gift that was unwanted by my mother. Mother had suffered little when ridding us of our previous pet, Nick, a vicious black and white terrier who had succeeded in biting all her children. But when he set his sights on Mother, that sealed his fate. He was gone. She wasn't looking forward to a new dog, especially one she didn't get to choose. When our family traveled to O'Hare Airport to meet a pet we called Fifi. But Mother told how our hearts opened to the poor little puppy with floppy tears and big eyes, trembling in her rattling cage, so hungry, thirsty, and afraid. She told how Fifi grew and prospered with love and kindness, just as children and others respond to care. Mother told her stories to her grandchildren, not once, not twice, but 14, 15, 100 times. And that's how she tried to convey much of what she wanted to. She told of Fifi playing games, chasing balls, hiding objects from her favorite people, children, how Fifi always played fair, and never bit, how Fifi loved by giving licks and rolling over in search of a tummy rub, and how much she enjoyed being petted, just like we all do. How Fifi allowed children to rest and get their naps while she guarded them in their sleep, ready to call parents or grandparents if needed. And how Fifi and all dogs, in turn, need rest to be at their best, so children should give them quiet time. How Fifi watched them eat. Watch them eat in peace and didn't expect a treat from the table. She taught that Fifi and all dogs protected their bowls, and so children should let all dogs eat their meals in peace. She told of Fifi's courageous virtues in protecting the backyard from squirrels, where she always succeeded in driving them away, and of the marauding possum, though she yelped and came away bloody and scarred. Because possums don't play dead for miniature tricolored dachshunds. But we have to remember, we all have to be prepared to defend and fight for those we love. However, do not despair if you don't win a battle, for your courage will be recognized and you will gain the respect of those you went to protect and even the respect of an enemy. That possum never returned. Mother cautioned that Fifi grew fat since we tossed her endless treats, while she affirmed that children could eat what they wanted, but she cautioned them to be responsible for and eat in moderation to avoid becoming overweight like Fifi, unable to control your impulses. However, if you do become heavy, or get scarred, do not despair, because Fifi's winning personality brought her many friends and much love. Mother taught that Fifi accepted and trusted other dogs and people until they gave pause to distrust or disliked. My mother was like Fifi in this regard. She recalled the day Fifi met Fritz and his master, to whom my mother complimented Fritz for being a fine-looking dachshund. "Yes," he said, "but I think Fritz has better markings, don't you?" "Well, he sure is more handsome," my mother agreed, "but he comes with better manners than his master," she concluded. "Fritz has better markings" was a catchphrase in our family from then on. And now to the fun part. It was Fifi's trip to the veterinarian with mother and three children in tow. On that day, our mother told stories about how people change to look like their dogs, and that we may be slowly changing into Fifis. Could we imagine how others saw us? She found and pointed out similarities of pets and owners as we drove the many miles to the vet. Upon arrival, we sat on the red leather benches around the room, with the warm paneled room, under an array of lightly draped sunny windows facing the parking lot. A large shadow passed along the array toward the door. We were all wondering who was going to enter that door when it swung open and an older, obese, bejoweled fellow whose face hung from his sad eyes with multiple chins waddled in, pulling his kin, an overweight, graying English bulldog. Spontaneously, the four of us burst into laughter. I can remember my sister Kate fell to her side, pounding the leather seat with hysterics. And my brother and I jumped up and roaring in hoots and arm in arm to support each other, made a herky-jerky kind of dance toward the door in the parking lot, while our mother, near frozen with a face gripped in mortification, was unable to suppress the deep chuckles, choked peeps, and then the raucous laughter as she hid her mouth behind her sleeve. She did her best to create a cover for us, for our boisterous behaviors by stuttering, "That was a very funny story, Rick, har, har, har." But that only made us laugh the harder. We three tell this story to our grandchildren. Seen so clearly these many years later, tears come to our eyes. Our abdomens contract when with the festering guffaws and erupt whenever this scene is encountered. And I hope you all have a funny scene like that in your past. As we remember that and our mother's tortured face in suppressed merriment that sunny morning, as she taught to contain a deep pain of hilarious sorrow, just one of the multifaceted emotions in which our mother reveled. The last Fifi story is of the morning Fifi died, with their children and grandchildren living elsewhere. Our parents attended to Fifi in her declining health until she reached an ancient age. Fifi traveled with them buying antiques as they crossed the Midwest for an antique store where mother worked the house selling goods. And father worked in the basement with nasty compounds and rusty tools, turning distressing wood and metal into intoxicating wares while Fifi slept in suspended animation in the truck or on the back porch. At home, she was now confined overnight by a child gate to the kitchen with a water bowl, her soft bed, a few old toys and rugs, on a vinyl floor that Dad cleaned most days. One morning, "Harry, Harry, come quickly, Fifi's dying," Mother yelled, and Dad appeared naked from the shower, wet feet, slipping as he negotiated the gate on the vinyl floor. "Get ice cream," Mother said, and the two of them knelt on the rugs, petting the greatest dog that ever lived, spooning the ice cream licked from their hands until Fifi's last goodbye. Now, I don't recall my parents saying they wept aloud together, though they may well have at that prescient moment. But we had known them to recognize a ridiculous situation when it occurred, and they may very well have been sitting there howling at the scene in which they lay. Fifi was buried that day under a flagstone that Dad had laid as a path to his Japanese garden, but they never told us which flagstone, because the place for Fifi was a secret for them. With their commitment to Fifi done, they turned to Europe for their antique business, where they could find wares for customers who collected porcelain, silver bells, religious icons, bric-a-brac, horse brass, or anything related to dogs. Thank you for sticking with us out there. Yeah, thank you.